Good morning. Good Sunday morning. It's a little kind of cloudy, damp here in Tennessee, in Nashville, and a little chillier than I thought it would be, but it's nice. So, can't complain. It's a great Sunday morning.
Yes, it is. Good morning, all.
Okay.
Good morning.
Should we tell a cat story?
Yeah,
tell a cat story. Okay, maybe I should give a little background. Is we adopted a cat that the couple was trying to find a home for it. And the poor cat had been a feral outside cat that nobody had taken care of. It just showed up. And the parents of the son who owned the house would show up, and there was this cat. And they finally, make a long story short, the cat was on its own, little bitty cat. I don't know what it had been through, but at one point it got sick. And now it's deaf. And when they brought it to us, they said, oh, we forgot to mention that it's got cataracts, so it's deaf and blind, and practically blind. And we have had the best time with this cat. She has blossomed, so to speak, into what I consider a full-fledged cat, which is really just a perpetual adolescent. So now she's going from one room to the other. She's all over the house. And yesterday morning, we didn't get up early enough. And Linda has to tell this part of the story because I slept through it. But what did the cat do?
She comes into the room because when it's time to eat, she makes this strange
Yeah, she doesn't meow. She doesn't meow.
She comes into the room and she does it loud. That means get up and feed me.
Right.
So then I go into the room to get her little dish and water and stuff like that. But I decided to put some dishes in the dishwasher first, so I took a little time.
You didn't come right back.
I didn't come right back. And she just waits for her food. She stays there no matter how long it takes. So I get back in there and I, you know, give her her little dish and her water. And she just is like, and so she is fussing because it took me too long.
And I'm convinced that she is fussing because if you bring it back pretty quick, she doesn't say a word.
No.
But if you have a side trip to the bathroom or something like that, and you're a little past her time scale and you set it down, she lets you know she is not happy.
It is not
with
the
your
meow.
Performance. And we've decided that our name, we have her name, we named her
Helen,
I couldn't resist, as in Helen Keller. But I think she's named us, and it's real simple. I'm walking pillow one, and Linda is walking pillow two. And that's about all the personality we have as far as she's concerned.
That is true. Which might have some
but anyway, we digress. We just thought she might enjoy Kat's story.
Yeah.
She's been a hoot. We're enjoying that.
We are.
So let's get to the subject. So I think the best way to introduce this is to read what I wrote as our description. And so that's what I'm going to do. So are you depressed, burnt out, struggling with an overwhelming addiction, or simply need some encouragement? Well, I don't mean to be flippant or anything, but there is an answer. Get some help. Linda and I have been there. In our society and culture, many of us, most of us, have been conditioned to believe if you can't deal with your life using your own personal tool set, then you're inferior. And we'll just kind of leave it at that. So that's the introduction. And that is what we're going to talk to people about today is get if you're struggling, whatever it is. You know, it could be a physical thing, it could be a spiritual thing, it could be whatever. It's okay to ask for help. I was raised by parents from the Depression era. They were born in, you know, 30s, and they knew at least a little bit about that. Then they lived through World War II, and my dad almost made it into the Army for World War II, but he did make it in for the Korean War. And this was a generation that said, you know, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, you're independent, yeah. And that's, I get it.
It's true.
I get it. And we've exercised that.
Yeah.
Linda and I both have. Nobody gave us the things that we've accomplished except the Lord, you know. But on the other hand, I've had lots of help. But I had to learn to accept that help. And I think a lot of us as Christians think, you know, we're conditioned to believe that give, 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 always give, always give. And that's a good thing. I mean, you know, but sometimes you need to be able to receive. You want to expound on that at all?
Well, two things that come to mind. And one is that it is a blessing to give, and it's a blessing to receive. So a lot of times when you don't ask for help, you may be denying somebody the ability to bless you. That may make them feel good as well as they're helping you. I think that giving and receiving is a balance there. And in life, you know, what I'm learning in life, it's all about balance. It's not too good to be one way on one end of the stick or the other. So that balance is very, very important. So that's the one. I guess that's the two thoughts about balance, because even with asking for help, on the other end of that is that you do ask for help. You ask for too much help to the point of
you're
a burden and a drain on people. So somewhere in the middle of that is the balance. And I think that's what God is saying, that for us to be balanced, when you really need help, there is no shame in asking for it. And most people with any kind of heart will do what they can for people.
Well, that's the part I want to talk about I think we are unaware, and now this is a day thought, I think we are unaware of how many people really want to help and are willing to help. Now, there's not many people, you know, who are going to dedicate lots and lots of time and money. Let's be honest.
Uh-huh.
But there are people, for example, especially if it's an emotional or spiritual need, we have lots of people whose desire is to help you. Linda is a coach. Well, there's a reason she's a coach. She's a coach not because that's where the money is. She's a coach because that's what she loves to do, help people. And so she's a professional at it. But we've got lay people in your church. You'd be shocked if you really looked around how many people are willing to help you. Now, don't misunderstand, because I have this in my life, Linda has it in her life, and most of you probably have it in your life, that there are certain people in your life who will take everything you have. And so, yes, you do have to have some boundaries. And those are the people who will complain because nobody wants to help them. Well, the truth is everybody got burnt out helping you.
Right.
I mean, you gotta cooperate.
You do.
You gotta do, you know. Otherwise, you just end up being an addict.
And
you've made somebody else an enabler.
Right. And I think the thing with that is, to me, to do all you can do with your personal self, to do all you can do, to go to the Lord. And sometimes when you need that help, when you have a relationship with God, instinctively, people, and sometimes we have to pay attention to that. I think sometimes we forget or are just not aware of people in your sphere that could help you or offer to help. I believe God brings them to. So be aware of that.
Right.
That usually when you ask the Lord for some help, people, places, these things will appear to you or come to you somewhere for your purpose of helping. And I think that the trick there is to do all you can do. And then don't be ashamed that I have done all I can do. Now I need some help. I'm going to be, you know, reveal some personal thing. I'm at that place where I've had a weight problem all my life.
Oh, yeah, it's a good example.
And I've tried, I can't even tell you how many diets I have tried. And this is on me, my own. I feel like I have success in a lot of areas in my life. But this weight thing is the one area that I have kind of, and I have lost weight and I've gained it back and I lost. And now I'm to the point of, and, you know, some people may have a problem with that, but I just want to warn whoever has something. I kind of don't care what people think anymore. I'm so past that. So I'm thinking about surgery now because I feel like I've tried all these measures, and I'm to that point now. I'm to the point that I know I need some help with this. I've tried for a long time, and it is sort of humbling to reach the place where you have to say, you know, I need help with this area. It's humbling, but when you get the help that you need, It is reassuring and also a confirmation that God will provide.
Well, you know, and trust me, because I'm having the same problem, as you well know, with weight and all those things. And yet it is humbling. But here's the thing, and I'm learning this in a lot of different areas. Get your ego out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be willing to say, Lord, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
Go to him, ask for help, and he will provide a resource. I believe that. But where I was going with that is I'm now reaching the point, and I think this may be a little bit of that unless you become his children kind of thing that God's doing in my heart. I'm getting to the point where I don't even hardly wait. You know, let's get this done, you know. Okay, I need help. Here's a practicality. We're building a business. We're having to do things with websites and Facebook, and neither one of us really know what we're doing most of the time. You know, well, get some help. So we're getting some help,
yeah.
You know. And just admit, you know, I can't learn and do everything. I can hire somebody and watch them do it, and next time I'll know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a small microcosm, but it's just, you know, being willing to accept. Now, I could turn right around and take advantage of this poor person and call them every 5 minutes and ask them to do everything and anything, you know, but now I'm not doing my part.
Mm-mm.
So you got to cooperate. But I guess what I'm trying to say is those are two, you know, diet and health are two common issues. And I would say to those who are struggling, get some help if you can. Maybe your employer has an employee assistance program. Maybe they'll pay for a wellness coach.
Right.
Or maybe they'll pay for a nutrition clinic.
Or a nutrition.
We're looking into all that.
Right. And getting help, it doesn't have – I'm taking probably the more drastic end of that. But getting help is maybe going to Weight Watchers or whatever. Not that we're advertising, but whatever you feel would be that extra help for you in consideration to health and wellness and stuff. But – even if in the small things, sometimes, like the website, sometimes we can keep going over and over and bumping our heads against something, trying to struggle to figure it out, which sometimes that's good for you because you learn a lot during that way. But when it's to the point where it's frustrating and you're dreading it and all of that, I think that's a good time. And help can be a resource. We have so much information on the in the World Wide Web. Help could be just going to the internet maybe and finding how to do a certain thing on YouTube. But it's just those are small things. But then when you get to the bigger things, you know, if you need psychological or spiritual help.
Let me give an example from my own life. And I'm sharing things too, but we decided a long time ago we are what we are.
Yeah.
You know? And that is I'm going through really a divorce separation. I've moved from one city to the next. I'm in the city, these cities alone. And to make a long story short, I spent 4 to 5 years in clinical depression. But because of my background and how I was taught, and what my dad taught me was you just suck it up and, you know, whatever. So for 4 years, nobody knew. I mean, I could fake it. I'd go to work, put a smile on my face, very, very functional. I worked lots and lots of hours. That was part of the coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Until finally what happened was I got high blood pressure. And I went to go see the doctor about the high blood, you know, because I knew something was wrong. And we started talking. And this doctor said, Dave, I think you're depressed. And I got some meds, and man, it was night and day difference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was wow. And I'm not advocating medications necessarily, but I'm not against them when they're effective and they work and they help you. Up to, you know, obviously some meds are worse than others and side effects and all that stuff. But I'm not apologizing. I don't feel now weaker because I got help, but it was an adjustment to realize, I'm the guy going to the psych ward. You know, oh, I'm the guy. You know, and then you go, wow, this is what it's like to walk in these shoes. I guess I better quit judging those folks, too.
Yeah. Well, I always feel that when you have depression or, you know, how many years people suffer through, like, manic depressive things,
right.
Especially.
And didn't really know.
And didn't really know in their family. But everybody kind of knew there was something wrong with you,
mm-hmm.
but nobody wanted. I could think of.
Nobody wanted to go to the psychiatrist. Oh, my God, that means you're crazy.
Right. And
maybe,
I have cousins.
But also,
that,
I mean, you just need some help.
Right. I have cousins and I feel like could have been diagnosed with some other things,
mm-hmm.
even schizophrenia and everything.
How
I hate to say.
People do we know, you and I, just you
yeah.
and I, who have been in and out of prisons, who have been self-medicating for years.
Right.
With no diagnosis, no real knowledge of what it is that they, you know, why they are the way they are, et cetera, et cetera. That's our society. Now it's getting better.
Oh, it's much
There's
better.
Less stigma than they used
yeah,
to.
Yeah, and I think that it, well, my dad was a schizophrenic. That
yeah.
is why some of the narcissistic and sociopathic behaviors that he had was stemmed from his schizophrenia. Now, he did not get treatment until he was well in his 60s. So think of all the damage, and that's why we have such a, I can't even begin.
You
to,
have wounds
yes,
in your family.
Because he never got, well, he didn't know any better to
right,
really
he
act.
Probably
this
never
is
got
how
diagnosed.
He functions. And you were in a family that everybody sees you were like a walking train wreck, but they don't know what's wrong with you.
Right.
We didn't really know what was wrong with him. So he was in his 60s and started getting help and meds. I mean, and just became a whole nother person
yep.
because he had went all those years without treatment.
And, of course, you know, I can't tell too much of this story because I want this person to share their own story, but I have similar experience to some
mm-hmm.
degree in my very close life. And one day we'll tell that story. It's
yeah.
not that I won't tell, it's just I think it should be said.
And
for the
you
person.
Know, well, my dad is
the
gone.
The other person, should, yeah, your dad's gone. So, you know,
it's another thing, but I believe my family members, and I do want you to hold it privacy. I feel like we all have talked about that, and everybody would be okay with me sharing.
Right. Yeah, we haven't shared something
yeah.
we hadn't shared before.
Yeah, pretty much.
And like you said, this person who is, I want to give them the option
right.
whether or not they want to tell their story. That's all. But I'm just saying I have experience. So how do you, you're going through a daily life. You're a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
And you're rushing around to get the kids ready for school. You got to get them to school. You got to get them to your job. You got a full-time job. You got to pick them up. You know, you got to make arrangements for daycare after school. And you're just going, you know, 90 miles an hour, exhausted and tired. What do you do?
I know that when I was in that place, seems like a long time ago, but it really wasn't that long ago. But when I was in that place, I think I just was getting so tired. You get into a mold that you always do, and so you kind of don't recognize that you're spinning your wheels. But then there would come a time when, like, I feel like God just gave me these moments. I would talk to somebody else, another mother who's going through the same thing. Somehow we would get in a conversation about, and this has happened on a couple of occasions in my life, and we would be talking about, man, I am tired, I gotta do this, and she's like, you know, girl, I know. Then we would be like, both of us had this aha moment, like, wait a minute.
Let's carpool,
and let's work this out, and sometimes you see my kids that I, and it was like, and I know that God brought that moment
Absolutely.
For us to even think about it, that this could be a possibility. And then I know when we started a bigger carpool, it started with her saying, well, I have a friend, do you think we can, and
now,
when
three,
we,
now I only have to drive 1 week out of the month.
Right.
Instead of 2 weeks.
Right. Or, you know, if you just need a break, all the kids come over
or
to my
something
house.
Comes
or
up.
Yeah.
You got to be somewhere.
So I know that those kind of moments started with a conversation with somebody, and we both had these aha moments, but we both were spent physically.
Right.
And so I think that sometimes you don't even recognize that you need help. You function in your dysfunction for so long.
Oh, absolutely. That's me and my depression.
Yeah.
I did not know I was depressed. I didn't realize this is depression.
Right.
Because I wasn't in a bed crying every day with the sheets pulled up over my head. I was fully functional.
Right.
But I had no life.
Right. And I think that, first of all, you have to recognize
this ain't normal.
This ain't normal. And when you've been functioning in your dysfunction for a long time, it usually takes another person to say to you, you need some help.
As human beings, our natural inclination is to stay with what we know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you get used, and this is what happened to me, because I believe I was depressed other times in my life, I didn't realize it either. You get comfortable with that. I got comfortable with being by myself, having no life except work in an apartment, movies, and food. Very, very unhealthy. But I was functioning. I was holding the job. I was paying my bills, but I had no life. But then the thought of, I didn't have a clue what to do. First of all, I didn't realize I was clinically depressed because I didn't know what that really meant. And it's different for different people. I now know and can see when I'm starting to head that way. I know the signs and the symptoms, but I didn't know them.
And I think some of the things that you want to watch for when you don't know that you're in a dysfunctional state, be that mentally, physically, or psychologically, is that when you have become comfortable in it, other people tell you things. You have totally withdrawn from people, and you are socially becoming inept, meaning that you just start interacting with people. If anything, you are
going to a party is the biggest chore.
Right. You just kind of more and more withdraw. The symptoms are you do maybe overeat, sleep for long periods of time. You have unaccounted hours of anything functional you're doing. Like, you might go to work.
Yeah, you're awake.
Yeah. But maybe when you go home, you spend 12 hours of the day sitting in front of the television and eating,
which I can't
really talk about all the time. But, yeah, that's one of the things that these things are creeping up on you. So what do you do when you realize, or then maybe you are doing dysfunctional things and other people bring it up to you, your family members, hey, this ain't right, you're not doing something, da-da-da-da-da. They're telling you that there's a dysfunction there. You have to, when you hear it from one person, sometimes you can let that go. Maybe it's not true. But when you hear it from more than, like if you have an addiction, you're an alcoholic or whatever, but you are in a form of denial. When more than one person tells you and you are just creating havoc and drama everywhere you go, you're like a walking bomb. When more than one person tells you that you have a problem, If you have lost relationships, if you have just had destructive things happen to you over and over, and bottom line, when you look at it, you're the cause of it. If you have had destructive behaviors that disrupt relationships and to the point now that you've done so much stuff that you don't have any more viable relationships. That's the thing with homelessness. Homelessness really is you have destroyed relationships versus not having a home.
Most of the time.
So you notice these things, it is time, some things you just have to have help. It is time to act for some help.
So where would you go, Linda? Where would you start if you're in that situation where you've alienated many of the people in your life?
Mm-hmm.
So they're, you don't feel like they're ready to help you because they're fed up.
Mm-hmm.
Now what do you do?
And this may sound oversimplified, and a little bit it is. I think first you start with going to God and apologizing and asking for help and forgiveness.
Even know what you've done wrong? You just know things aren't right.
Well, you know what? And I know this sounds trite because I still believe in personal. Sometimes you do know some things that you have done wrong. I don't let people escape with that.
Right.
When you have broken relationships, you know what you have done to sever
those.
You know what your part was. So you have to acknowledge that I did this.
Take a real look and be brave enough to
You have to acknowledge the things that I have done, because that's the first thing with people. When you do wrong, a lot of people want to, it's somebody else's fault, it's somebody else's fault.
You know, that's very interesting. Let's take a little side trip, just real quick, and that is to not acknowledge, it's like an alcoholic or anybody else. You have to reach a place where you have to say, I need help. And be willing to say, I need help. That is so difficult for many people. Myself, it's been very, very difficult for me. I'm now at the place where it's okay. I don't have a problem asking for help. But I'm 61 years old, and I'm mature enough to know that my ego doesn't really matter, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
But at 28...
Well, you have to acknowledge. Let's look at, I acknowledge that I'm just going to use myself. If I had a drug problem, or if I was an alcoholic, or if I was somebody who had, you know, an addiction to relationships, all of those are addictive personalities. I acknowledge that, Lord, something is just wrong. I somehow.
You've got to start with the recognition of the problem, and that you own it. It's your problem.
You got to own it. That's the whole thing with a lot of, in America, we do not want to own what we have done. We want to throw it off the mat. So you have to own that I have done some very destructive things in some relationships.
That's like step one. Right?
That is step one. And then you have to forgive yourself. Father God, I ask you to forgive me for these things and help me to forgive myself. Because a lot of times you can't move forward because you have done some things. And I've been there with relationships. You have done some things that are so terrible, let's be real, that it is hard for you to forgive yourself. So you have to forgive yourself because you stay stuck in this pattern of, and you keep on being destructive until you can acknowledge and forgive. So even before others can forgive you, you have to forgive yourself.
So start the process of seeking help, as in making a phone call, going someplace, whatever, you feel like, you know, you kind of have to go to the Lord and go, Lord, this is a mess.
Yeah, you have to acknowledge.
And I made it this mess.
I made this mess.
You know, this has happened because of my choices, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and it's a mess, and I need some help.
Pretty much.
That's humbling.
Very.
I mean, even going to God, for me to go to God and just, it's humbling. Now, I know he's always going to accept me, and I know he just can't wait for me to take that step, because as soon as I take that step, the help starts pouring in.
But you know what? You can receive help easier if you can acknowledge that I made this mess. Because when you go to others to ask for their forgiveness, they're going to say some really harsh things to you that you may not want to hear. But it's a little bit when you have already acknowledged that you did these things. Okay, like I'm just going to use me and my family. You don't, I mean, the people, you know, my dad as a drug addict had done some really harsh things in our lives.
Sure.
Taking money from us, stolen from us, and all those kind of things. When he was 60 and he realized, like he came to this place of all the things that he had done, I do believe he went to that place where he had to forgive himself. So he would come to us and say, he would list what he had done to us.
Wow. I don't think he told me.
No.
I mean, I knew that some of it.
I know he did that for me, and I think that. He went to my brothers and stuff. I mean, he didn't list every single thing, but he listed the majority of those things that he knew that probably hurt us the most.
Wow.
And he would say,
I
cannot pay back those years.
Right.
I can only say, please forgive me. And you don't even know how hard it is.
Step one.
And that was step one. But, you know,
actually, step one was forgiving himself.
Right. And he taught me this, actually. And then when he would say, now what, it may be some things that I didn't even recognize that I had done. Talk to me about that.
That's classic.
And so we would, and he would take it because he recognized that he had done those things, but I don't feel like he could do that if he had not first said.
He had to have gotten himself into shape.
To hear.
Your spiritual condition to hear and be willing to hear and let you just unload on him. if that was what you needed to do.
Yes.
How interesting.
And I feel like if you have done some things to sever relationships, if you can first own what you've done, forgive yourself, then when you hear that echoed and mirrored back to you from the people that you've hurt, it doesn't make it easier, but it takes some of the sting.
It puts you in the right place.
And a humbling place. So you have to be humbled.
Okay, so let's keep going. So you've done that. You've said, you know, you're struggling. Trying to think of.
You're struggling. You've done
let's
that.
Let's think of a real struggle.
Yeah.
That would affect other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say it's. I don't want to take the classics. I want to do something a little, you know.
Okay. Let's just say you've said something to somebody, and I've done this too. That was very hurtful. And at the moment that you said it to sting and hurt them.
You
did
that
intentionally. That was you wanted to pretty much break them. So in a moment when it's, and you accomplished your job, and sometimes we all have done it in an argument or whatever. So now you go and you've created this shattered mess, and you look at the reality of what you've done, because then you start feeling sorry about what you've done, even though you've done it intentionally. So even for yourself, now you left this person, let's just imagine, crying, da-da-da-da-da, you've gone on your way. A moment you feel like, oh, well, I accomplished that. That's pretty good. Then at a moment later, especially if you're a child of God, God will say, oh, we'll leave now.
That's the way you want to leave it?
That's the way you want to. That was really wrong. That was cruel, da-da-da-da-da. And mostly that's within yourself you hear that. And so now it's the Lord is saying, and this can be cleaned up if you could go back and ask for forgiveness.
Right.
And I'm just going with an emotion. An emotion is that you kind of feel like, well, I deserved it a little bit, Lord.
Yeah, you would have just.
Yeah, I don't really feel like, you know, well, they did this and this to me. And
right.
So, yeah, so you have that moment of that. So in the moment of that, you can say, I ain't doing it. I'm going to do it tomorrow. Let them kind of wallow in it for a minute. So whatever. And the Lord will
that's not true. Repent.
Yes. And the Lord will kind of just work on you because you'll start having memories. I don't remember when you did this, da-da-da-da-da. Or did you really want to hurt her? Did you see that tears that she had in her eyes when you said da-da-da-da-da? So then you have to come to a place like, Lord, that was so wrong. So you have to humble yourself before the Lord. I am really sorry because I didn't even have shame about it. I'm just being so real because we've all had moments like this. Some people may not want to admit it, but I'm not a perfect Christian. I am who I am. So sometimes you just have to come to that point like, Lord, that was really wrong. That was foul. Please forgive me for this. And I did this. I owned that. I really, the real thing I wanted, and I have to always be real with myself. So when I, you know, own my stuff, I am very real. I really wanted to hurt her deeply.
This person. So
and
you have a real example. Use my name and name there.
Yeah, yes, this is a real example. And I did hurt her. And for a moment, I'm just taking you through the steps I go through person. And for a moment, I just kind of like that hurt for a moment.
Sure.
So, Father God, I just ask you to take away the part of me that enjoys hurting somebody that bad.
Yeah. Okay, so, Linda, that was a great dissertation on relationships. How does that relate to getting help?
That relates to help is that if you can't acknowledge and take responsibility for it, you can't move on.
Okay, I wanted to make sure we got that because I got a little like, I got you.
Right.
I totally agree. When you're saying before you can get help, you need to get your relationships as healthy as possible. The first one being your relationship with God.
And yourself.
And yourself.
And the thing is that people don't want to own their crap.
Okay, gotcha.
So you have to own your crap, whatever that was.
And
then you say, now I need help with this because this is not the first time. This is a way of life for me.
I'm glad you brought it up. So own your mm-hmm. stuff, whatever. We use whatever. But that's true everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm at work
mm-hmm. And
I'm stuck, you know, trying to solve this problem, and I've worked at it, and I've done all I can do, and I don't know what to do next, then I kind of lost my train of thought here a little bit. But, I know, it's owning it. So now I could go to my colleagues and go, you know, there's something wrong here. You know, it can't be me. You know, but if, I guess if I go with the attitude of, hey, look, guys, I don't understand this. I'm not getting it. I'm owning it's my problem. Tonight, people are
willing
really
to
help
you.
Sometimes.
Like, Carol, let's all take a look
at it. Well, let me look at it. Let's look at it together. Let's talk this out. Let's go into a room and get a flow chart or whatever, you know. But I had to own. Now, if I went to them saying, well, you got to help me. You have to help me. You're my teammate. You know, attitude's totally different, you know. So that's a kind
of owning.
It's a
humbly owning, coming to Jesus with yourself and owning it. And then it's, you know, and it's not always that you've done anything wrong, but sometimes we won't ask for help because we have too much pride and ego. A lot to own that.
I think that's the biggest obstacle there is the pride and ego. That's what I started off with. It doesn't make you inferior to need some help.
No.
Well, I am not inferior because I suffer with a tendency to depression. That is a chemical thing triggered by stress and so on and so on. My body's actually functioning pretty correctly, actually, and I need to address the stresses. That doesn't make me less of a man.
No, no.
It just means I have a chemical issue.
Right.
Now, is there a spiritual basis in there? Sure. Is there an emotional part of it? You bet there is. You know, but ultimately, it doesn't make me less. And it doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
You know, we're okay with people going to the doctor because they have cancer.
Definitely.
Well, why aren't we okay with people going to the doctor because they're struggling with their emotions or their whatever, you know?
And it's the same
thing. The doctor
thing.
Might be the pastor.
Right.
In this case, you know.
Or because if people can't help you, most people of a certain profession, if they can't help you, they will refer you or help somebody, find somebody. So just asking for help. But the thing is, with the acknowledgement, is it helps you move. Even with somebody with cancer, they have to at some point acknowledge that something is wrong with me.
Right. Yeah, they have
to even go to the doctor to get treatment.
You know, doctor can't help you if you don't go to the doctor.
Right. Yeah, so you have to acknowledge that. And not to say that there's always something wrong with you, but to acknowledge that you have the feelings or whatever. So then after you acknowledge it and you've accepted personal responsibility, if that's the case and it's not the case in every situation, then it's seeking the help that you need and being open to receiving it. Because sometimes when you get help, you have to, just like a sore, you have to be able to receive what the help brings. Before they can treat the sore, you have to look at it. So sometimes with seeking help, you go to a psychologist or a minister, you might hear some things you don't want to hear about yourself. You have to be open to hearing those things.
And since you're a nurse and since I have some training in it, what's the first thing you do? Assessment.
Yes. These are the things. This is what I'm seeing. That's acknowledging from somebody else. Yes, these are the things we're seeing. Okay, it's not to tear you down, but it's just to say, I see da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now you can implement a plan with that person. I want you to see the doctor two or three times a week or whatever. But it just all starts with acknowledging and then speaking.
Okay.
If you think about it, we have to acknowledge that there is a God before we can ask him for help.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Step one, is admitting this is a tough world.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't easy. It's a struggle. It's tough. It's okay to get some freaking help.
It is. It is.
You know, I moved up here to Nashville in 2011. I had been unemployed for 2 years. I went to nursing school 2 semesters before I said nope. Then I taught high school pro bono for a year. So no income. Well, I had to make a change because my money's running out, you know. And I had this little adventure that I do not regret. It was time, you know. And so I took a job here in Nashville at a low bottom of the run, work myself back up into the industry, and God has incredibly blessed me in these 6 years in Nashville. But I remember during that period, for the first time ever, having to call a family member and saying, I need some help. My car's broke down and I don't have the money to fix it. Wow, that was humbling. I had never asked anybody for anything. My parents, you know, I always made financial decisions that were conservative, and I always made sure I could pay my bills. I never asked for help. I was the first. And it was tough. It was tough making that phone call.
Well, imagine
my family member was extremely gracious.
Well, he's a gracious man.
Right, and you know who I'm talking
about. Yeah.
But the point is it's not easy. And we're not – I'm not trying to say it is easy, but what I am trying to say is there are people out there who are willing to help you. They're not willing to enable you, nor should they be. In other words, if I was calling my uncle once a month, it's time for him to go, Dave, you got to find a way to solve this problem. I'm not going to just keep paying your bills for you.
Right.
You know?
Well, you're willing to help somebody that never. If I have family members that come to me and they never ask me for anything and they come to me, if I have it, I'm willing to help them because they, I know.
This is if they're making goals themselves and spent. They misspent their budgeted money, and now they don't have money for rent. Because you know,
I know
something has come
right.
up. Something
must
happen.
Really, and if I have it, I am so. And it's other people too. For that person, you are willing to give. So it's not like you wouldn't give. So you know, that's what I want to tell. When you get that point where you just have to ask help, know that there are people. I see God in all of it. God will make a person's heart soft to you.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, when you really,
he
will bring the resources. And that's some of the part of that, even in this place where you have to ask God, ask help. Ask God first. God, bring me help.
Well, let me,
I don't
let
want
me
to forget neglect that.
Let me give an example, because I learned this myself, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. But when I was working at a previous company where it was very high pressure, and we were put in places and asked to do things that we hadn't really been trained to taught to do, and you're struggling and you're just trying to get, oh my gosh, how am I going to get this off? And the pressure's on, big time. And I've been more than once when I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I am truly stuck, and there's nobody sitting next to me who knows how to do this either. I need some help. And I would get a phone call. Somebody would walk up and go, hey, Daddy, what you doing? And they say, no, I've got help. That was God.
Mm-hmm.
That was God. Now, it wouldn't have hurt for me to get up and walk around the office and go, hey, I need some help. And trust me, I learned to do that. But I have had God just, man, drop stuff in
right,
my life.
And he'll do it. Trust me, he will do it. He's done it to me. Too many times I'm not going to go into all the stories, but first of all, I think it's so important to ask God for help. When you don't even know what resources to go to, ask God. And then be willing to have your eyes open to accept the resources when they show up. Because if you ask him for help, resources will become available. Don't close yourself off and don't even see the resources available to you in front of your eyes. Because he'll do miraculous things
and
when you really need help.
I believe that. Our God is sufficient.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that his grace and goodness to us is unlimited.
Oh, yeah.
And his ability to provide those resources is unlimited.
And so you have to, there's a measure of trust there.
And so there's a faith factor.
There's
here.
A faith
that
once you ask, then trust that he will provide. And a lot of times he's provided, and it's right before our eyes, you know. There'll be so-and-so, your friend's friend, that can help you through this area or can provide you the information that you need. Just be open to receiving the resources when God brings them to your way.
Wow, this is so funny. You just popped my mind. I want to share this with our listeners and you. George Mueller, God has me. I've been listening to an audible about it's the autobiography of George Mueller. And George Mueller was a late 1800s, early 1900s Christian. He was actually from Prussia. Everybody thinks he's English. He wasn't. Anyway, to make a long story short, this whole book is so amazing because it's just his journal. And he and his people, the people he worked with, never, ever publicly asked for anything. They prayed. And it's just, you read this book, and it's, you know, it may say January 13th, 1902, we have no money, but we trust God will bring. And it's just one story after the other of last minute provision. And the whole reason that George Mueller started everything he did, and he had orphanages and Bible schools, was to bring honor and glory to God. So he said, I'm not going to dishonor God by trusting men to provide my needs. I'm going to trust God. And it's an amazing story. It is just wow. And so I guess I go there to come here is he will provide.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be open. You have to ask God to show us and keep our eyes and our ears open. We've got 13 minutes. How do you want to?
I feel like we've taken you through the processes. Let's come back to summary of what first you have to acknowledge you have a problem. Second, you have to forgive yourself. And this, through this process, ask God each day for the way. Lord, where do you see I have a problem? He'll show you. The Holy Spirit will show you where you have a problem.
Amen.
So acknowledge that. Two, God, help me. Help me. First, help me forgive myself. And that could take a process. Don't put a time span on it. It may take you a year to forgive yourself. So allow yourself the time to truly forgive yourself. So you ask God through that process, then bring me the resources that I need, Lord, to help me with this problem, and be open to receiving and acknowledging when a resource has expected. Expect and trust that God will bring them, and then be open to seeing those. Okay. So that's the whole process.
So I feel like that's the formula for spiritual struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk in our last few minutes about practical things. Like, okay, let's take myself. I'm at work. I'm a computer guy. I need to learn a new language, you know, a new computer programming language. And I'm not 20 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
My mind doesn't learn quite as quick as it used to. It's still pretty good. Now, what I've learned is the shortcuts, and that is, okay, then I'm going to go talk to somebody who knows how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's training. That is taught. It has taken me years to be able to do that, because many years I didn't think I was supposed to ask help for nothing. You know, that it was a weakness, I wasn't doing my job, I wasn't qualified, not anymore. Now, it's like the first thing I do is, let's take a shortcut, let's get some help, you know. So that's a practicality. What if you're just struggling to figure out how to get the kids taken care of from 3 to 6 because they're out of school and you don't get home until 6. What do you got? Is it still back to the start with prayer?
I started all with prayer. I mean, people doesn't. I mean, I need resources. I need somebody to cover me from this 3 to 6 time frame. I'm open to it.
And
Lord,
you ask God to provide an answer.
I mean, I start there. I mean, because I've had times in my life. I've had times in my life where it wasn't any resource. When I came here, there was no resources for him. We didn't know anybody. There was nobody here to ask.
Yeah, me too.
So I had to come up with, and people just presented it. And I had to take my pride and be willing to accept the help when it came, or to be open to meet new people and open up those conversations about what do you do? And the Lord would just send people that met the need of whatever I needed.
Well, you know, this is a new Davism in the last 2 to 3 weeks. You know, I come up with these. And I'm becoming more and more convinced that the real main, real reason God lets us go through hard times and struggles and challenges and hurts is to be empathetic to others. Yeah, we're learning how to walk through our own stuff, but I also think they're learning how to have compassion for others. And so I say that to say there are people out there who want to help people.
And sometimes you block out.
I could walk into my office at work, and I really believe this. There's every member on my team, and it's not my team, that I worked with, I believe would do anything I asked them to do.
Yeah.
But that's because they know I would do the same.
Right, and that's the thing.
So
you be willing to you have to be open to the whole thing is that be willing to give and to receive.
Right.
That's the balance in the middle of that. So, you know, as Christians, I think one of the things is that when we need help, we have to be willing to allow others to give to us, to be a blessing to us.
Another example. Keep
and
going.
Then the other thing is that as Christians, we also have to be open to be vessels for God to use us. So when the opportunity, like somebody you know may not be at the place where they can ask for help, sometimes it's a grace thing. You show God's grace when you can say.
You get an offer before that.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
Yeah, when you can be able to say, hey, you look like you're struggling. Do you need some help? What can I do to help you? You know,
I do that.
Yeah, to be open to that, because you are offering God's grace by, you know, they may be having such a hard time to act, and when you just offer, it may make it easier. Who cares how it happened, but it did happen.
Right. Yep. So there's one. So interesting. So what you're saying, and I agree with you, is being a giver makes you easier to be a receiver.
That is so true. It is.
There is a karma thing. I'm sorry.
It is.
I've used the word karma.
Well, hey, it is what it is.
But the Bible says you reap what you sow.
And that's positive.
And that goes both ways.
It goes both ways. So sometimes I feel like in order to give, we have to be able to receive.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. So just be open to receive and be open to give. I think that is a practical use of that. And I feel like we've given practical ways. Act, acknowledge, act, and believe that God will provide.
And look.
And look for opportunities to serve.
Now, I can't help it. Maybe it's because what you and I have been through and what we've struggled with our families and everything. What if you're the person who's been taken and taken and taken and taken and receiving and receiving and receiving because you and you'll always have a need? What if you're a cerebral palsy? Is there any a time when we get to the place where you feel like you've worn your welcome out?
Well, and I think that, you know, who's to say that children with handicaps or people with handicaps can't give?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah. That's so it. To be open, sometimes there comes that place that, because, you know, maybe they can dry the dishes or whatever.
It's fun to always be the receiver. Either.
Right. I feel like you have to give people the opportunity to serve, too. And
in
whatever way they can. Maybe all they can do is bring a dish to the table.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, I want to say to those people who, you know, just feel like, man, when am I not going to have help? When am I going to grow up? When am I going to get there? And that is to be patient, keep doing your part, keep asking God for help, you know.
And find you, no matter what condition you're in, can find opportunities to be open to finding the opportunity. I don't care who you are.
I think that's the key statement.
Yes.
If you're feeling like you just do nothing but receive, find a way to give.
Right.
Because it's there.
It is a way. And you
know,
just have to
be
open.
The smallest thing, but there's always ways.
Well, I'm just thinking of, you know, I have a family member that, had gotten out of jail, really, you know, he stayed with me. Had no money to give me or anything like that. At the time, I was living in a house that needed a lot of repairs, and he is capable of doing that. I cannot tell you how.
You found a way for him to
Yes, and he just started fixing stuff, and he didn't ask.
And he probably made him feel tons better.
And I was so, I mean, one day I just came in when you're a single parent and, you know, you got this sink that's been stopped up and nobody can do anything with it. And he had fixed the sink and everything. And I had no money to get a plumber. I just bust into tears. For him, that was beyond anything that I could say thank you for.
Right.
And he was ecstatic. And I had to tell him, like, I'm so thank you. I don't have the money to do this.
So to wrap this up, first of all, it's okay to get help.
Yes, it is.
You know, and if you're struggling with spiritual things, find somebody. They're there. There's a reason there are clergy in the church.
Right.
Most of them really, truly want to serve you.
Right.
They want to meet your needs.
Right.
They want to help you through whatever it is you're going
and
through.
And if they can't, they know resources probably.
Right.
That.
That, you know, yes, are there bad clergy? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, sorry. Welcome to the human race.
Yeah.
But 99.9% of them are there because they want to help.
That. Yes.
So if you have a church, call your pastor.
Yeah.
And be willing
to
bear yourself.
Yeah, and that's okay. You know, I also want to talk about healthy boundaries if you are the person, because there can be boundaries that you need to set for somebody that's always asking. And there are people who are drainers of your energy.
Yep.
And that is when things have gotten out of balance. You have to have healthy boundaries. If you have a family member, friend, or whatever, they're always in trouble. They always need that $100 every few months. Sometimes you have to, it's a great thing. It's a blessing for you to say, I've helped you a couple of times. This time, I can't help.
Because they've got to become.
Yes, they have to find other ways. And so don't feel like, my mom used to say, no is a grace word, baby. It really is sometimes. And don't be afraid to hold up those boundaries, because it makes them, God is working on them too.
Yeah, and they need to face that.
They need
to go, hey, I got to make some changes if this is going to work. You know, if I'm going to be able to pay my bills, I've got to make some changes.
Right.
Whether it's get a job, work more hours, you know, cut your expenses. You know, we have to do it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we're in pretty darn good shape. But, yeah, you know, we just have to operate within that. Okay. We have 3 minutes. There's no reason for us to take 3 minutes if we're done.
I feel like we're done.
How would you, what are your, any final words you want to put in here before I sign us off?
No, I think we've said everything we need to say. I guess the biggest thing was be trust God and be open to his answers, probably.
Okay. I'm with you. So I think I'm just going to close with prayer, and that is, you know, Lord, help us to learn to be givers and receivers.
Yes, Lord.
Give first, you know, and think about that and see, you know, I think we help us to realize that any giving is good.
Mm-hmm.
And in your book, there's no real measurement of giving. So if I give a dime, and it's my, as the Bible says, as the example says, if all I've got is a dime and I give that, that's as good as $1 million.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So help us remember that, Lord. Make us give. And then make us open to getting help and being okay with that. And being willing to say, I need help. I'm struggling. I'm weak in this area. Whatever. Lord, help us to just be honest and open with each other and with you so that you can work on us. And I just ask this thing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay.
Have a great week, you guys.
Bye, everybody. See you next Sunday, we hope.